that way.
Blog Talk Radio.
The universe into being. In Genesis, the first chapter. For the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But God, the speaking spirit, spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. So I want to know how many people are excited about the word tonight. I said, are you excited about the word tonight? If you're excited, get up and we're going to just celebrate the word together. Ah, here we go, y'all. Talk to them. Tell them. Say it now. Great.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we give honor and thanks unto the Lord for being here today. And I thank God for each and every one that will be tuning in and that is calling in. Thank you for that. And we're here to expound on the Word of God. We're still talking about salvation. I'm telling you, it's a great topic to talk about because being saved is a blessed thing. It's blessed to be in fellowship with God and in the family of God. I'm so thankful for it. I praise the Lord for each and every day that he called me and he drew me out and he saved me. So I'm so thankful for that. And I thank God for being this broadcast today. I thank the Lord for being a part of this ministry and just in our endeavor to try to build a foundation for people so that they can stand on and be a part of God's family. I thank the Lord for each and every one that will be calling in today and all of those that are on the line currently. Thank the Lord for each and every one of you. And if you would just introduce yourself at this time, I think I have on the phone Adila Salim and I think Elder Anthony Poston. Would you just say hi to the people?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. We're just so blessed to be a part of this ministry and everything. So we're going to get in right into it. We're going to start talking about salvation. I'm going to ask Elder Poston if he would lead us out in prayer today. And,
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength, O Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to partake in your word and share upon your word with others, O Lord God. We pray, O God, that you have a good ground, that your word will go forth and take root in us and produce fruit. It will be pleasant in thy sight, O Lord God. We pray, O Lord God, as our heart's desire is to establish a firm foundation of Christian doctrine and beliefs, O Lord God, and to stand on God. Because we know that in doing that, it will be for our good. And we pray, O Lord God, that you get the glory out of our lives. Save us, set us free, deliver us for your glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. We are so thankful for just another opportunity to share the gospel with everyone. We thank Elder Poston for that prayer. And we're just going to go right into it. We have been talking about salvation, and we broke down the steps to salvation, which explains, you know, the different parts of it, the different parts when we talk about belief, we talk about acceptance, we talk about forsaking sin, we talk about confession. And we talk about all those things when we talk about the steps to salvation. When we started out on this number, the second part of it was only supposed to be part two, but it ended up being our way to part four. So we thank the Lord for that. But we've already covered five of the steps. One of them was hearing, and that's hearing the true word of God. The second one was acknowledgement of your sin and how we must realize that we are sinners and we must realize that we can't save ourselves. The third one was repentance and what it means to repent, to be truly sorry for our sins and to turn from them. And then we talked about confession, and confession was to tell or to make known of oneself sins or errors and that we must confess and tell our sins to God, who alone has the power to save us and to cleanse us from sin through his blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful for that. And then also we have forsaking, and forsaking means to renounce any hidden habits, to quit or to leave or entirely withdraw from them. And so that's what forsaking meant, and that was our fifth one. So today we're going to start out with believe and what it means to believe in Christ and what it means to believe in him. So, and believe means to have a firm conviction of one accepted truth in one's faith. It says you must believe. We must believe that in Christ if we're going to make it to heaven. That's something we have to do. And then our next topic, we're going to talk about acceptance, and which means to receive as the ultimate truth, that we accept Christ as our Savior. We accept what he did on the cross and Calvary as the truth, and by faith we receive Jesus so he can be Lord over our life. And so we're going to go back up here to believe, and we're going to talk about some scriptures as we go through. I think I have someone else on the line. Would you like to introduce yourself?
This is Mr. Craig. You just got online.
Praise the Lord, Mr. Craig. We thank the Lord for you being on the line. And so we're going to talk about belief. The first scripture that I want to read, and let me give you the scriptures that we have for that particular topic in case anybody wants to write them down, or if anybody's listening to this later on, they can write these particular scriptures down and study them on their own. The first scripture is John 3:15. And then we have John 5:24. We have John 12:46. We have John 20:31. We have Galatians 3:22. Hebrews 11:6. 1 John 5:1. And we're gonna. Oh, and then we have Mark 9:24. Yeah. And then we may even touch on Matthew 21:18-22 if we have time. If that'll be our last resort, because we want to get through acceptance as well. So let's start with believe, and it says John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so when we think about that from the perspective of belief, it's really kind of straightforward. It says whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. And so that is what Christ is offering, that's what God is offering us if we choose to believe in God, to believe in Christ. And so, of course, if we think back on Romans 9:9-10, and what it brought us when we were on those particular scriptures, that's one of the salvation scriptures that is really used today when it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so it takes us to believe it in our heart. It's just not nothing we can say, and then that's it. You know, we said it, we got into heaven. But it has to be a heartfelt situation. We have to believe in our heart that Christ is raised, that God has raised him from the dead, and then the Bible says that we shall be saved. So does anyone have any thoughts about that, or anything about that particular scripture that they want to expound upon?
Well, for me, first of all, let's define what the word believe is. And I'm taking it from dictionary.com.
Mm-hmm.
Belief is a verb, and it says to have confidence in the truth, the existence, or the reliability of something, although without absolute proof that one is right in doing so. And it also says to have confidence or faith in the truth of, give credence to. So I believe we come up more so under the second definition, where it says to have confidence or faith in the truth, because that's what we base our belief on, is faith, our belief in Christ and God, and his existence and what he has planned for us. To have confidence in the assertion of a person, in Jesus and what he did for us. to have a conviction that a person or a thing is, has been, or will be engaged in given an action or involved in a given situation. So when we're talking about what does it mean to believe, what is believe, that for me, and somebody else can get into it too, but to me is to have confidence without a doubt of the proof that you have been exposed to.
Exactly. Exactly, because since I'm a note, I'm on the wrong page. I had something.
And so like you just read in John 3, that whosoever believeth in him, so we can say whosoever have confidence in the truth in him, you see what I'm saying, should not perish, but have eternal life.
Exactly. Because it kind of gave a reference, if we would go back to the 14th chapter, and it said, the 14th verse in that same chapter says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so what it was saying at that point in time when that particular situation happened in with the Israelites in the wilderness, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness because they needed healing. A plague had broke out, and God told him instructed him to do that so that the healing could come forth so that they could be saved. And so the same thing, it says, as it was with that, the same thing would happen because it says if Christ be lifted up, that he, if the Son of Man be lifted up, that he will draw all men unto him, and so that he will save them. And so that was one of the things that I got out of that particular passage too, because it's saying believing that God would heal them if they did. But it says similarly, our salvation happens when we look up to Jesus, believing he will save us. God has provided this way, a way for us to be healed of our sin, a sin of the daily bite of sin. And so that's what believing does, is it gives us this confidence or this conviction that we believe that Christ did this for us, that he sacrificed his life, God sent his only Son, that he would die for our sins, that we might be saved. And so we have to believe in that, and that's us making a firm conviction that this thing has taken place, and this is what we are believing in our heart. Does anyone else have anything to expound upon what either one of us said? Because if we think about Abraham, the Bible talks about Abraham, too. It says, another meaning was says to think, to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, place confidence in the thing believed. And so that's when we talk about believing for salvation, we're placing confidence in that Christ did go to the cross, he did die for our sins, and because of him we can be saved. And so then what it said, it talked about Abraham in Genesis 15 and 6, it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. And said the Hebrew word translated believe is a man. And in the figurative sense, it means to stand firm, to trust, to be certain, to believe in. The word literally means to support, carry, or uphold, like a pillar does for a building, or a nurse does when the nurse holds up a baby in the hospital room, or, you know, some of those things. It becomes the support. So the ideal is that our belief supports us in our walk with Christ. So our next passage of scripture for that same thought is John 5:24, when it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So even though the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man wants to die, but then if you're not saved, you got two deaths coming, is what I translate that to mean. That everybody must pass from death to life at one point, I mean from life to death at one point. But then when we are in Christ, our second death is from death to life, because we live it, we do it, and we live again. And so those are the things that our believing in Christ will help, will cause us, the situation he will cause us to be in, that we will pass from death unto life. That even though we died physically, we don't die spiritually. We continue to live on spiritually. Anybody have any thoughts on that particular?
Yeah, Elder, and then we, even besides just the physical death, we know that in Genesis, one of the advice he gave them about not eating from the tree of good and evil is that he said, the day you do, you shall surely die. And it wasn't just the issue of physical death, but it was the issue of the key death, which is spiritual death. And that caused a kind of separation between man and God. So we know that Christ came to restore that and to give us life through his death. And that's why it's very important for us to receive it and believe it. Because, I mean, if you don't have Christ, you are dead. Because he's the only one that can resolve the issue of sin, you know, and bring back wholeness and restoration between God and man. If you do not have a relationship with God, you have no life. Because God is the judge of the world. And if you don't have a sound relationship with him and embracing our Lord and Savior, there's no way you're going to be successful in life in this earth. And then at the end of life, and there is no way whatever you do can translate spiritually, because you never receive the Lord as Savior and never gave your life to him. So you died both spiritually here, physically and spiritually, which is very terrible.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what, Mr. Henry, I'm glad you brought that up, because for me, what I want people to understand when I talk about belief, what I believe in, why do I believe, what does it mean to believe? God gave Adam and Eve instruction, rule, guideline. If they would have believed him, then they would have not done what they did. But then serpent came along and presented some other information to them, and they believed what the serpent said, and so they partook of the fruit. So what we're saying, or what I'm saying, is when we talk about belief, they had confidence in what he said. And it was a lie, but they believed it. And so we talk about belief. People do what they believe. So if you believe that God is, if you believe that Jesus came to redeem us back to him, then you have confidence in what he said in his word. And then you begin to act on your actions will dictate what you say you believe. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So one of the things the Lord gave me in witnessing to people was to ask them, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe that? And, I mean, there's several things that you could touch on as to why people believe. But I began to explain that the reason why I believe what I believe was based on the information I was given in the Word of God, what my parents taught me, and what my personal experience. So it's critical to get that settled in your mind, because a lot of people say they believe, but then their actions don't line up with what they say. So then, do you really believe?
Right.
And that means, do you have confidence in? Well, we can say it this way. Do you trust what God says?
trust in God to believe? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, because belief and trust are kind of interchangeable when you think about it sometimes. Or just because if I think about this particular, when it talks about we have to understand that if we believe in Christ, then that's what we believe. So, like you said, it's gaining information. First of all, the Bible says we're preached to, so we hear the word. And if we believe it, then we act upon what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
So when we hear the word, I believe that that's God drawing us. And so when we hear the word, then we act upon it, and we came to say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? I want to be saved. So then when I heard the word, I believed it. It's just like when we turn on the television in the morning to hear the weather report. Now, they can say that it's thundering and lightning, but if we don't hear the thunder and lightning, then we're like, well, where is it? You know what I'm saying? But if we hear the thunder and lightning, and then we hear them say it, then we believe it so. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, because then there's evidence. But what do you do when there's no evidence?
Well, then
when
you trust.
Go ahead.
Trusting that they have the insight on what's going to happen for the day. Because maybe it's not thunder and lightning in your area, but someplace else in the city it is, and it's coming your way.
And because you believe that, then you act by preparing, taking an umbrella. Your actions then go in line with what you do based on what you heard.
Exactly.
You didn't even experience the rain yet, but you heard the word.
Yeah. And so I believe that it was going to come.
And you trust in what they're telling you is true.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about Moses and people wanting to be healed, and he did that is because he trusted in what God told him and believed that it would happen. So that's what he did.
So he did exactly what he told him done. He held up the serpent, and he believed if they passed by it and looked upon it, that they would be healed.
Right. And it's like, okay, if you want to lose weight, you believe that if you cut your calories and you exercise, that you'll lose weight, right?
Yes.
So your actions then go along with what you believe. So like John 12:46 says, I have come in light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Meaning
exactly.
They won't stay dark. Because they believe what he said. And then John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe. So I'm giving you these words written so that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name.
Yes. And what that particular scripture means, it says to understand the life and mission of Jesus more fully, all we need to do is study the Gospels. It said John tells us that his Gospels records only a few of the many events that Jesus did here on earth, but the Gospel includes everything we need to know to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, through whom we receive eternal life.
Right. So then somebody might say, children of Israel, they saw all that. I mean, how am I supposed to believe it just by what the word says? Well, that's where faith comes in.
Exactly. That's where the faith comes in. We have faith that we understand that this is what happened. We weren't eyewitnesses to it. But we have been witnesses in our life, if we think about our own life and how we've experienced Christ in our own life. We know that, and that's why we can witness to somebody about Christ and how, what our Christian walk is, because we have witnessed in our own lives the miracles, the what Christ has done for us. We have witnessed these things.
So I would say to anybody that's facing anything they might find challenging right now, you know, if you just think back, well, this is what the Lord did for me. When I was facing a situation, I didn't think I was going to get out of it. It was impossible. I didn't understand how I got in it. You know, I was, you know, just really distraught about it. And the Lord said, remember when I did that back then, and you thought that that was the worst situation. So then when I began to remember and remember what he did, then I began to believe that what I was facing today, just like he brought me through that, I believe he can bring me through what I'm facing right now. So I act on that.
Right. And that's what you trust in. You trust in because you know for yourself what God has already done for you. So it gives you the faith to believe that even the current situation that I'm in right now, God's going to see me through that as well.
Right. But I got to believe it.
Yeah, but you got to believe it.
I don't act. Which means I don't exercise my faith, which is faith without work. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like the next scripture, Galatians 3 and 22 says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
Right.
Well, it says sin holds all people in its iron grip, but we are trapped by sin, beaten down by past mistakes, desires. But we know that desires that we know are wrong. But God knows we are sin's prisoners, and that is why He provided a way of escape: faith in Jesus Christ. All are caught in sin's grip, but only those who place that faith in Christ, they are loose from it. And they look to him, and he is reaching out to set you free.
Like the next scripture says, which is Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. The action based on my faith will come to me because I believe that he is.
Yes.
And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek.
And that to me is such a power fact. Because it tells you exactly. Okay, we wouldn't hear him. Hello?
Yes,
okay. I'm not sure what brought that in. But it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Well, he that comes to God must believe that he is. So we got to believe that he is God, he is our Savior, he is everything we need, because then it says, and that he is a rewarder to them to diligently seek him. If we believe that, it's just so much in that scripture to me. I just think it's a. Anybody got any comments on that? I thank the Lord for.
Yeah, can I say something about that, Elder? Because, okay, like, we're talking about John. We read John 3, we read John 5. Even went down. But from John 5 and 24, and then coming to Galatians and Hebrews 11, 6. We know that even the whole conversation that Jesus brought up, that verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hear my word and believe on him that sent me, have everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. We know that Jesus, a lot of the people that Jesus was talking to was Jews, and even this conversation came about with a debate after he healed the man at the pool. There was this ruckus and stuff going on with the Jewish leaders while he healed the man on the Sabbath, when they saw him doing another thing on the Sabbath, while he was doing this on the Sabbath, eating on the Sabbath, plucking corn on the Sabbath. And then, you know, all of that in this discourse and this conversation about believing. Now, the thing this verse is even read in Hebrews 11, with all faith is possible to please God, for he that comes to God must first believe that he is. Now, God is not really counting on us to have blind faith. We know that in John 5, Jesus healed a man at the pool and gave a testimony that he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, and gave them reason to embrace him and receive his teaching. And so it's the same thing with even Galatians chapter Hebrews 11 and 6. God has done so much in the world, or he does so much through the church, that believers, people that say they believe, must enhance their faith and believe consistently. And people that don't believe, he does so much for them to come in to the fold and receive him as Lord and Savior. So that verse is not even a blind faith, just come to God. No, but we're talking about proofs. Conviction in the heart. It happens through miraculous healing, like it started with John chapter 5. So we can't see truth and the heart becomes convicted, yet stay we don't believe. And that becomes a problem. So our whole Christian faith is not just the issue of talk, but it's the issue of proof. And once you see proof, you can deny it and turn your face from it.
Yeah. Right. What about, because this is, and you're so right, Mr. Henry, it takes more than us just believing. Because it says this, if we explain 11 and 6, it says believing that God exists is only the beginning. Even
Definitely. The
demons believe that much. They believe that much. So that's just, as I would say, our reasonable service. But God will not settle for your mere acknowledgement of his existence, but he wants us to have a personal, dynamic, life-transforming relationship with us. It says those who diligently seek him will find that they are rewarded with God's intimate presence. So just us believing, the devil believes. It got to be more than that for us. It's a relationship that we begin to develop with God.
Yeah. But Elder, even the verse we're reading, the entire Hebrew was written to believers who were tired of persecution. And because Christ came and there was persecution, so a lot of them started to go back to Judaism and practice Judaism. So all of that, the writer wrote this book. And that's why when we see Hebrews 11 and 12, but with all faith, it is impossible to please God. You must trust God, even in the midst of persecution. And you got to trust that he is a deliverer, that he will deliver you, you know.
Yeah. I want to talk about, I want to get on acceptance, because the clock just ticks down so fast, and when we get into it, it seems like it's, we got all the time in the world, but as we go through, it goes really quick. So I want to talk about acceptance for a minute, for a few minutes, and then we'll get on to some questions that we had to come up. It says, John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It said he gave us the power to become the sons of God. So, all who welcome Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives are reborn spiritually, receiving new life from God through faith in Christ. The new birth changes us from the inside out, rearranging our attitudes, desires, and motives. Being born makes you physically alive and places you in your parents' family. But being reborn makes you spiritually alive and puts you in God's family. That's what that does. When we accept Christ, we now become a part of God's family. We're just not in our physical family. You know, I'm just not a part of the Bryson family, but now I'm a part of God's family. That's what that acceptance will do for us. Any comments on that? I'm going to go to John 14. Go ahead. Wait a minute. I have another call. Go ahead, Ms. Henry.
Now we're talking about belief, so we come to accept. So when you believe, you got to embrace what you believe. You got to receive it. Because if you don't receive it, you will have problems with believing and problems with faith. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. So we're going on to John 14 and 26. It says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And to me, that goes back to us saying that, you know, he's drawing us to him, because it says no man cometh to the Father except I draw him. But this scripture says no man cometh to the Father except by me. So this is what Christ is telling you. You got to come my way. You can't get it to him no other way. You know, there used to be a song that says he's so high you can't go over him. He's so low you can't go under him. He's so wide you can't go around him. But you what? You must come in at the door. That's what the song used to say. We used to sing that all the time. It said you must come in at the door. So what Jesus is saying there is he is the only way to God. He is the only way. Some people may argue that's too narrow. But in reality, it is wide enough for the whole world. If the world chooses to accept it, instead of worrying about how limited it sounds to have only one way, we should be saying, thank you, God, for providing a sure way to get to you. Because he could have left us. He could, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, he could have left us in that state. But he said, no. He said, he created us and he provided a way for us to come. But the only way we can get to God is through Christ. Any comment?
Jesus came because the old covenant did not work for us. It didn't work for them, and it does not work for us in this day and time. I was on the job at the VA the other day talking with some veterans, and we were talking about how Jesus came to mediate a better covenant, because the law could not save them or could not save us. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And once all the work was done on the cross, when he ascended up on high, now he sits on the right hand of the Father, now he intercedes for us. He not only does he intercede for us as believers, but he also intercedes for those that are in the world. That's the reason we have to come through him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the one that makes perfect intercession for each and every one of us, for the believers and the non-believers. When we come to Christ as a non-believer, Jesus make intercession, because we don't even know what to pray for. A lot of times we don't even know what to pray for.
Exactly.
But Jesus knows what to pray for. I hear oftentimes in the church people talking about, I'm an intercessor. I don't really believe, because it's God's spirit that makes intercession. And if you're not filled with his spirit, you can't make intercession if you're not filled with his spirit, because his spirit is what does the praying.
Exactly.
Like when we start, when we start praying in the Spirit gives utterance and tells us what to say.
Exactly. Because we know not what to pray for.
When we were right, and when we were talking, when y'all were talking about over in Hebrews, when we were talking about having faith in God, as believers, we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, from the faith to faith, because our faith increases through our trials and our temptations. We have different types of experiences, and it causes our faith to increase. In chapter 2, he talks about, therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And God was also bearing witness to them, both with signs and wonders. This is, once we receive salvation, when we accept God as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how we grow from faith in faith, faith to faith, is through the signs and the wonders. There is no way you can say that you are a son of God and not have no type of experience with him.
Come on.
And because of the different experience we have and the different deliverances that God brings through our experiences, when over in it talks about how tribulation works with patience, and patience experience hope, and hope makes us not to be ashamed to be called the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be tried first. Then you got to have patience while you're being tried. And then after you've been tried, you have this experience. And this experience is what increases our faith and tells us God is gonna do what he did before, he's gonna do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be the same circumstance, but that's how we get from glory to glory, because he gives us all these experiences, and that's how we mature in Christ.
Yeah.
And that's how we become effective witnesses, is through our tribulation. Because it's through the tribulation that Jesus shows up and delivers us and gives us the victory.
Yeah. Because what he says in John 16:33, he says, in this world you'll have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, because I've already overcome the world. So he's already
He's done it.
Anybody else have any thoughts on any of that?
Well, another thing, Elder, is Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, the life, no man come to the Father. It's very big, because it seems very arrogant as far as other people may be concerned, because what he's actually saying, he's saying, I'm the end to religion as far as religion concerned in the world. I'm the means by which one practices religion. You know, and that it sounds very tough, because one might say, you know, what about all the other religions in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't insult them. We don't say anything negative, but Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, as far as religion is concerned. And we as believers have to know that, because in the time of, you know, moral relativity, and everything is connected, we can't clearly define things, we can't clearly put a mark between truth. We can't clearly define faith. You know, there are so many. Jesus is saying, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. Anything concerning God, concerning faith, concerning religion comes to me. And we believers have to know that. We don't have to argue with people. But this is what our faith says. And this is where we stand. There is no other way but Christ.
I have a couple of questions that have been posed. One of them is, how do you know? Can anybody answer that?
Repeat your question again.
How do I know? The question is, how do I know I believe?
How do they believe?
Yeah.
Well, one of the easiest ways of making it in his heart to receive, you will live when you believe. You shall know them by the fruit. So
yes.
What you believe, you practice what you believe. You live what you believe. You know, that's the reason somebody gets up and go to work every morning. They believe they will have a paycheck.
Exactly. That helps to answer that question. It was a question. Now, my other question is, if my salvation is based on belief in Jesus, could you define what believing in the Son of God means? How would we define that? And we probably have talked about this in our discussion, but as a specific question, you know, how do we define what believing in the Son of God means? I think believing in the Son of God means that I think it's just that a matter of me just saying. I mean, like you said, I believe in my heart that I believe in this God. I believe He's God. I believe His Son is His Son. I believe that He sent Him to the cross to die for my sins. I believe that, and that's what I've been taught, that's what I've heard, and so that is the concept that I believe that concept is truth without a shadow of a doubt. Anybody else got any thoughts on that?
Well, Elder Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You believe that Christ raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I mean, once you believe in that principle, you do believe, and you are saved. You just have to walk it out, learn more about the peace, and walk out your faith. I don't think believing is a very complicated thing at all. Once you receive the Lord Jesus, because you had a conviction in your heart, you believe. And
yeah.
You are saved.
I think you're right.
Now, what we do is that we learn about our faith and we exercise our faith.
Well, Elder Bradley, I have a question and I have a comment.
Okay.
The comment to your question that you just read is what we said before. People do what they believe. That's how you know you believe in Jesus Christ. You do what you believe. So if I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I'm going to do what His Word says because that's what I believe.
Exactly.
So my question is, does believing and acceptance equate to understanding?
I think it does because, when someone truly believes, that means they have justified in their heart that this is what it is. It's like if you're at a stoplight. You know, we believe that green means go, red means stop, yellow means to pause. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, to slow it down, and you might not be able to make it. So we believe that. So when we see green, we just automatically go. So I think
I believe that when you believe, you have determination. When you have determination, you won't let nothing stand in your way because you're determined that you're going to do what you have to do. And to believe in God, you have to have determination. And no matter how it goes, I'm still going to believe and have the determination that God is still is head of the throne. And the reason, and I think that when it says you only come through God, through Jesus Christ, is because the reason that you have to go through Him because He was pure. He was the only person to walk this earth that was pure. He had sins came against Him, but he didn't yield to sin. So when something is so pure, that means that God has made him pure for us to go through him because of the pureness that he has within himself and his salvation and his soul. But when we determine we're going to do something, we determine we're going to do it, that means our faith gets stronger because we don't want to waver anything. And it comes by hearing, it comes by reading the word and stuff. That's how determination, that's how belief comes in. Belief doesn't come overnight. Belief is a process. You can say you believe, and that's it. But if you keep saying it over and over and doing and acting on it, and then it becomes reality to you. Because when you say, I believe, and you go to church and you say you believe in everything else, but if you say it in church and then as soon as you walk out, your whole life has changed again, then the belief has to come in process. Belief is a process to me.
Yeah, and another thing, sister, faith is a process. Belief is the beginning, but the development of that belief of faith is a journey and it's a process.
Yes. I believe that. Does anyone else have any thoughts on this? Because we're down to the last 9 minutes. Do anybody else have any thoughts?
Can y'all hear me?
Now we
can y'all hear me?
I'm going to ask my question again. Does believing and accepting equate to understanding?
I think believing and acceptance does equate to understanding. Because if you believe, you're coming to some type of understanding about who Christ is, right?
Right.
If you accept him,
I don't think so.
Well, believing and accepting is the beginning. It's the beginning. When you believe and accept, it's the beginning of understanding. Because, you know, wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. But it doesn't equate into full understanding. Full understanding is a developmental process. That is why we see all the patriarchs of faith, the father of faith. Abraham believed God, and he moved with God. But he did not have total understanding. That's why he agreed with Sarah. He believed God, but he did not have total understanding. That's why he said his wife was his sister. But over the period of time when he gained better understanding about his God and his faith, he said when God told him, go and sacrifice your son, because he had better understanding and knowledge, moved him. That's why he decided to sacrifice Isaac. So you have the beginning, but it doesn't equate into full understanding.
Okay. I agree with you all. That's good. Both of you all. Yeah.
And the reason why I ask that question, because if there's anybody out there listening and they feel like they don't understand all of this, that's okay. Don't walk away or give up because you don't understand every little intricate part. But like Mr. Creighton just said, go ahead and embrace the beginning of it and then move on to deeper understanding. But don't walk away because you don't understand everything.
Yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts on it? If not, what we're going to do is we're going to, we've made it through salvation, praise the Lord. We've made it through that. Next week we'll be talking about forgiveness, and we're going to start out forgiveness will probably be a three-part process because we're going to talk about God forgiving us, us forgiving others, and then even forgiving ourselves. And so we're going to talk about it from that, from those perspectives. And so that will probably take us a little time to get through that because it's such a touchy topic. And a lot of people sometimes don't understand all it is to forgiveness, but we are going to touch on that. And if anybody ever wants any of the notes about salvation, you know, you can call, you can contact, email me at Denise, DeniseBrySon, Ministries, MinisTries, at gmail.com, Denise Bryson Ministries at gmail.com, and we can email you the notes that we have concerning salvation if you want to continue to read it yourself and just read through the passages of Scripture and, you know, be prayerful. And then, and of course, we always want to tell anyone that please, you know, if you ever, please get in a good Bible teaching church, and because that's what you need in order to be able to continue to grow along with your experiences. You know, the Word of God is what helps to increase our faith. So we would really love for you all to you know, get in a good Bible believing church. And if there's anyone out there that doesn't know Christ in the pardon of their sins, and you would love to accept, you would love, and just because of this message or this teaching that you say, I want to give my life to Christ, you know, we will, you can give your life to Christ right now and say, you know, God, I'm sorry for my sins, and Lord, I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sin, was resurrected from the dead, and is alive, and here's my prayer. And I invite you, Jesus, to become Lord over my life, and to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will and to rest for the rest of my life. And the thing about it is when we pray that prayer like that, that doesn't mean just because you said it that that's what that means. But what it does mean is it opens up your heart to receive Christ. And then if you believe in, like, in your heart that those things, then you can be saved. And so that is what we want you to understand. And if you need to play this back at any time, it will be available for that time. We thank God for each and every one of you that were listening today. And we have we're going to ask Minister Henry to pray us out. We have 3 more minutes, and we're going to ask him to pray us out. And then we will see you back on this station this time next week, and we will be talking about forgiveness. God bless you and keep you.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for this opportunity and this medium that you have given us to share your word. Dear God, we pray for all those that heard your word, that your word will enter into their heart. It will bring about transformation. It will enhance their faith, all of our faith. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for these teachers, dear God, for committing their time to share and to teach your word. May you continue to impart your word into us more and more that we can share our faith and live out our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all for participating with us. It's been such a blessing to serve you all and just to try to bring the word of God to you. And is there any other comments? We have like a minute and a half left. If anybody else has any other comments or anything they want the people to know, we would gladly take those at this time. Hold on just a minute. Call coming in. Thomas, do you have any comments?
I'm sorry, I just came back in. My mom's calling in.
Okay. Yeah, okay. We've got less than a minute and a half left, but we just want to encourage somebody not to let these things confuse you. Understand that God loves you. He wants you. He wants you to be a part of his family. He's not trying to reject you or make it hard, but he wants you to be a part of his family, so you just got to accept Christ, and he will allow him to come into your heart, and you become a part of our family, and we're so glad to have you in the family. This is one big happy family. It might not seem like it because we're all different in who we are, but we are a family in Christ, and we're so thankful that he's accepted us in the beloved and that he loves us and he cared for us enough to let his son go to the cross on our behalf. Even when we weren't even born, he already paid the price for us. If we believe in our heart and begin to turn our lives around to live the life that Christ has for us, we will see eternal life. We will be able to, we're living to live again is what we're doing. So once again, I thank each and every one of you for listening. I thank each and every one of you for participating. And may the Lord bless you this week. May his face shine on you, and may he do miracles in your life. I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of you, that and I pray that the angels would encamp around about you as you go through your week, and that you will have no hurt, harm, and danger. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.